London. Give me a call and tell me why you are so vehemently opposed to these closures. Because the health secretary, when he comes in later, I'm sure will say, well, that the reason is that we need to concentrate specialist care in different units. And if you've got something wrong with your brain, well, there is a much better and safer place for you to go than maybe the unit in Hammersmith. I'm pretty sure that's what he'll say. But of course, people don't tend to believe anything that politicians say, particularly when they're health ministers, which I think is unfortunate. It doesn't matter what party they come from. They are never believed when they make the case for a closure. 0345 60 60 973. Cathy Corrie is from the Reform Think Tank and joins us. Cathy, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Why is it that people are so resistant to change in the provision of medical facilities?
Well, I think A&E has always represented a sort of clinical safety net for many patients. It's the one place where patients know that at any time of day, wherever they are, they can jump in an ambulance, in a taxi, and find an A&E and get the medical help they need. And actually, that shouldn't be the way that the NHS operates. There are many cases where patients should be able to get access to clinical advice, to treatment, closer to the home, in community alternatives such as walk-in centres or pharmacies, or, as mentioned before, whether they should be taken to sort of specialist trauma centres as well. And so, in a way, this is actually a failing of not of A&E, but of the alternative to A&E, which at the minute don't offer a sort of appealing alternative prospect to patients.
Can you ever think of a time when any local politician, like a local MP, has actually run the gauntlet of their constituents and said, look, I do support this. I can see why the NHS administrators want to do this. It will be a good thing in the long term. Yes, it may cause minor inconvenience in the short term while people get used to it. I can't think of any politicians that's ever done that.
No, I would agree. None spring to mind at all. And as you allude to, this is very much sort of politically charged sacred cow in a way. The A&E closure is something which we've seen local politician after local politician of whatever political party fight against. And it's more because of what it means to the public, rather than actually trying to engage patients with what's the actual implications for them of having a very small, for example, low quality and financially unsustainable A&E. And actually why that is a worse option for them than downgrading and looking and improving at the sort of alternatives that we would hope to see.
Is it because there's just a widespread cynicism among people that even if they're told that this is being done for medical reasons, there's a suspicion that actually it's not. It's being done for either political or financial reasons. And so therefore, when they carry out a formal consultation, people go along to the meetings and they haven't the slightest intention of believing a word that the people conducting the meeting are saying.
Well, I'm sure that is what goes through a lot of people's mind, that the concerns which are being raised about these A&Es that are not necessarily about the patients but about the financial case. And whilst the financial case is very important, it has to be said, particularly if you look in London, you've got a very high concentration of trusts which are in extreme financial difficulty. Clearly, it's going to have to be politicians and clinicians as well making a case for change, which is about how you deliver high-quality care for patients in places which is convenient and more comfortable for them, which is often closer to the home in community alternatives. And by the way, that will also be more financially sustainable. But the overarching argument has to be about where patients want to receive care.
What would you like to see the government do differently than it's doing at the moment?
I think this is sort of a very broad and very big question about how we change the way we deliver care over the whole of the NHS. We need to see, rather than going to A&E being the default, we need to see patients have access to really good alternatives elsewhere. So that means I think what we would need to see the government do is to really not just improve the quality of those services, but also extend opening hours of alternatives like walking centres or out-of-hours GP clinics, but also tell the public that they exist, because a lot of this is about not that they don't exist, but that the public aren't aware of the options that are open to them and which is the most appropriate given certain conditions. So this has to be a very, it's a very big change, but it's a very important change if we want high quality care for patients, but also a sustainable NHS as well for the taxpayer.
Okay, Cathy, thank you very much. That's Cathy Corrie from the Reform Think Tank. Well, have you ever been involved with an NHS consultation? My own experience of this came about 10 years ago, really, when I was a political candidate and the government wanted to close a cottage hospital on the North Norfolk coast, and I sort of rallied the campaign against it. And it was quite an interesting experience because nobody would hear, they just weren't interested in listening to the reasons for closure. And there were, I have to admit, some valid reasons for doing it. But I, as a local politician, I was moving heaven and earth to keep it open. I got a commitment from the then Shadow Health Secretary, Andrew Lansley, to do just that if the Tories won the 2005 election. Well, we all know that didn't happen. And indeed, the unit then proceeded to close. But why is it that people cherish these individual units so much that they can't see any logic behind the reason from the NHS authorities? 0345 6060 973. Frank is in Neasden. Hello, Frank.
Yeah, Ian. I'm in Northwest London, and I've used Central Middlesex A&E about a year or just over a year ago, and I'm not at all happy about what's going on. You mentioned people in rural areas being happy to would be happy to have four A&E hospitals within a 5 mile range, etc. But let's not forget that up until today there were seven A&E units for 5 million people in Northwest London. Now three of them are now closed, so we're now down to four. And they're talking about closing a further two hospitals, so we'd be down to two. Now, when you got two A&E for 5 million people...
Yes, but when you put it like that, it sounds complete madness. I completely agree with you, but it's not quite that simple, is it? Because we all know that a lot of the functions, a lot of the reasons people go to A&Es is because they can't access other services, so they don't actually need to go to A&Es. That's why these walk-in centres are being provided. So it's not as simple as saying they're closing and nothing's replacing them. There's also a new... I don't know how far north Northwick is from the one that you use at the moment, but there's going to be a new £21 million A&E department there. So it's not just a case of they're closing everything and not replacing them.
Yeah, I know, but they are downgrading, aren't they?
They're downgrading these two A&E units to walk-in centres. That is absolutely true.
Yeah, well,
I'm not defending it. I don't know enough about it to defend it or attack it. All I'm pointing out are the facts of the situation, that it's not often quite as simple as people seem to think. They hear the word closure and then panic as if nothing's being put in its place. And invariably, I'm not saying always, but invariably something is.
Well, it doesn't seem to be in this area. I don't see how 5 million people are going to benefit from what has happened
Keep listening, and after 7 o'clock, maybe you might like to hear, somebody might phone and ask Jeremy Hunt himself, and he can explain it, because, as I say, I don't know enough about it to know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. All I do know is that normally in these situations, there are two sides to a story, but actually, often people don't want to hear the other side. Frank, thank you very much. 0345 6060 973. If you've had a major reorganisation of facilities in your area, A&E facilities, maybe your GP surgery shut, how is it affected you? Did you take part in the campaign against it? Was the campaign successful? And if not, why not? Did you ever feel that people were listening to you? That's what I think people don't understand, is when they think that the NHS administrators have already made up their own minds and nothing.